This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. This is your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase studio overlooking a gloriously sunny Mi-Mag Mile. It's just a beautiful day out there today. Please be sure to go out and enjoy it. It's great to be back. As everybody knows, last week I was down at the University of Missouri to see my youngest daughter, Kate, graduate. A lot of graduations at higher education institutions last week, including at Rutgers University. And that's where President Obama delivered the keynote address. And in that address, he made some references to the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, Donald Trump. But like a lot of people, it seems like Republicans are referring to him as he who shall not be named. But here are some of those comments from the president.
The world is more interconnected than ever before, and it's becoming more connected every day. Building walls won't change that. Isolating or disparaging Muslims, suggesting that they should be treated differently when it comes to entering this country, that is not just a betrayal of our values. That's not just a betrayal of who we are. It would alienate the very communities at home and abroad who are our most important partners in the fight against violent extremism. Suggesting that we can build an endless wall along our borders and blame our challenges on immigrants, that doesn't just run counter to our history as the world's melting pot. It contradicts the evidence that our growth and our innovation and our dynamism has always been spurred by our ability to attract strivers from every corner of the globe. That's how we became America. Why would we want to stop it now? So, class of 2016, let me be as clear as I can be. In politics and in life, ignorance is not a virtue.
That's President Obama speaking at Rutgers commencement address last Sunday. Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Palos Hills Mayor Jerry Bennett. Mayor Bennett is president of the Southwest Conference of Mayors as well as chairman of CMAP, the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning. Also on the phone, Downers Grove Mayor Martin Tully. And Mayor Tully is the immediate past president of the DuPage Mayors and Managers Conference. Mayors, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thanks. Good morning, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. Good morning to you.
Good morning. The reason I wanted to have both of you on the show is to talk about the ongoing, ever-present budget impasse in Springfield, and with particularly the concern of how it affects municipalities. And we saw this take place in the previous budget making, where money that would be flowing through to municipalities was held up in this. Finally, some of the money was released, particularly over concerns of things like how are we going to make sure there's salt on the roads in the wintertime, that kind of thing. And now we're kind of back in that same situation again. And, you know, Mayor Tully, let's start with you. I mean, what's going on here?
Well, what's going on here is what I consider to be a situation of municipalities being under siege. We're getting hit from every direction, and the budget crisis is only part of it. If you also look at some of the legislation that has been proposed, and we've talked before about suggestions about eliminating or reducing the municipal share of the state income tax, which is known as LGDF. But more recently, Rick, the withheld local revenues that we've experienced, and yes, they were finally released after extraordinary action, but we're going to face that same crisis again where funds such as the our share of the use tax or sales tax, motor fuel tax funds, and for other communities, other things such as gaming revenue were being withheld and not coming to communities. And for each community, that can be a substantial amount of money. We don't receive all of those different revenue streams, but just for the two that my town does, Downers Grove, that can amount to almost $1 million last year.
And that's not money that's easily made up.
No, it's not easily made up at all. having to cut $1 million out of your budget, particularly coming on the heels of what most municipalities did in the years following the Great Recession, 09, 08, they already made a lot of cuts. So there's no low-hanging fruit. There's no fat to trim in many of our towns. And I know we'll talk about it in a moment. On top of that, we have our continuing annual obligations, which only go in one direction with respect to funding, increased funding of public safety employee pension funds.
And Mayor Telly brought up Mayor Bennett, my favorite term. I think I'm going to make sure everybody learns what LGDF stands for in this, because, you know, it always seems like this is a ripe target. And even though I can't say that I've heard a lot about LGDF, that's the local government share of the state income tax. That always seems to be a ripe target, although I can't say I'm hearing a lot about that right now, and as you know, whatever progress is being made incrementally on trying to come up with a budget. Mayor Bennett, I don't know if you're hearing something different.
No, right now the temperament has been cooled a little bit, but LDGF has been really under attack, not only under this administration, but even in the Quinn administration. It seems when every time the state gets into a budget crisis, the first thing they look to is local government. As the mayor indicated, low-hanging fruit, but it's not low-hanging fruit. The state share of the income tax is critical for a lot of municipalities. It may represent anywhere from 15 to 30% of their operating budget. So an attack on that money really creates a crisis for local government if, in fact, we lost that money.
But right now what we're looking at is things like as Mayor Tully said, things like these kind of pass-through revenues of a different scale, like 911 surcharge money, motor fuel tax receipts, sales tax, those kinds of things that, I mean, really the state doesn't do anything except they process the money and turn around and supposed to give it to you, except it has to be appropriated.
Correct. That's been a problem over certainly this last year, the first time ever that I can ever remember that because of the impasse of the state budget, monies were frozen everywhere. And for us, the continuing appropriations of that money, those are monies strictly collected by the state, put into a fund and then transferred to local government. It has nothing to do with the operating budget
of the state
of Illinois. Right, correct.
And it's not money that they can touch to use to plug a hole in the state budget.
They're not supposed to. But as that topic becomes now, should it be, that's what worries us going down the road, whether or not tapping into those funds or taking those funds away from local government becomes an issue for us.
So, Mayor Tully, is that something you're hearing, that's part of these talks that some of these budgeteer groups are talking about?
Well, of course, the concern is that every time the Illinois General Assembly is in session, municipalities...
Nobody's wallet is safe when the legislature's in session.
You know the old joke, and unfortunately, it's not a joke anymore. It seems to be a constant threat. And that's right. I mean, these are pass-through revenues that are just supposed to be collected by the state and then allocated to municipalities in their respective shares. And it's not that the state necessarily takes them, although that's always a threat with the stroke of a pen that can be changed. But the failure to appropriate these funds creates a real issue, because it isn't as though the money is necessarily set aside and we just have to wait to receive it. If the appropriation doesn't take place, we may not get it all. And last year there was some scrambling to make that happen, but there's always the possibility that the appropriation doesn't take place. And the question is that money that might be permanently lost in municipalities? And as you point out, that's a big hit.
That's Mayor Martin Tully from Downers Grove. We've also got Palos Hills Mayor Jerry Bennett. We're talking about the budget impasse and the effect on municipal governments. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN. is our phone number. I'm Rick Pearson, and this is your Sunday Spin. And joining me here on the show are Mayors Jerry Bennett of Palos Hills and Martin Tully of Downers Grove. We're talking about the state budget impasse and its effect on municipal local government budgets. And, there was a bit of a bullet dodging for last year, but now we're looking ahead again about, despite what the governor says is great optimism, that there'll be a grand bargain. I'm sorry, I've been doing this about 30 years. I'm the pessimist. I'm the dark cloud. But, you know, Mayor Tully, so there's an effort to try to have a continuing appropriation, which, I mean, just explain what that is and how that would help all of you.
Well, the problem is that, as was pointed out earlier, last year we had the issue of the lack of a state budget appropriation. The pass-through funds we've been talking about, use tax, video gaming, motor fuel tax, 911 surcharge, et cetera, were not being distributed. And absent the solution that was arrived at, which municipalities were all thankful for, to release those funds, we're going to face the same problem again every year. And right now we're facing that same July 1st deadline for the fiscal 2017 budget. If legislation isn't passed in time to release those funds, or there aren't, as you say, continuing appropriations passed, we could be facing this problem every year. And given the shifting political environment, that just creates a huge uncertainty with this, with respect to our organizations that are responsible for providing the services that people interface with most commonly every single day. A continuing appropriation would relieve that uncertainty and allow for these funds to go to their intended use, which is providing much-needed revenue to support these much-needed daily services that we owe our constituents.
And certainly, Mayor Bennett, that, I mean, for budgeted purposes, for municipal budgets, but also along with this is this all of this talk in the legislature, and it's part of the governor's what he calls his turnaround agenda, is the issue of a property tax freeze. And so you have, you know, that being thrown at you at the same time of you've got these budget, you know, where you're caught up in the budget impasse as well. And, you know, a property tax freeze, you know, it sounds great, but it, you know, there is local control issues here.
Certainly, Rick. I mean, the talk of property tax freeze is great theater. It's great political theater. But when you think about it, property taxes have, number one, nothing to do with the state of Illinois operating budget. It's all local control. Property taxes, for the most part, certainly in metropolitan Chicago and possibly outside downstate, represent 70% of that money goes to local schools.
So on
if not more,
the property tax bill.
So on one hand, if you have the state of Illinois who is not funding schools at their proper level and now frees them at a local level, they are really going to be caught in a box. Local government for us, our municipality, I mean, we've been fortunate over the years. We only take in about 5% of that property tax bill, which is hardly anything, to deliver all the services that we do. But also, we're a non-home rule community, and we have been under property tax caps since 1996. So for the general public, that means that for the most part, it's been a cost of living increase each year. It's not been any great rise in local property taxes. So that's minuscule.
And there's been no great inflationary increases. I mean, and plus, let's face it, you're all under the political dynamic of, you know, everybody, the property tax is like the third rail, and to raise property taxes is not an easy thing to do, you know, beyond that kind of cost of living type adjustment.
Correct, but even for the portion that we do collect, the 5% in Payless Hills, a good portion of that, a significant portion of that, in fact, a third of that goes to pay for our downstate police and fire pension requirements. Again, another state mandate. So if you take away the opportunity to fund what you're supposed to do through the levy, and now they freeze it all together, again, that makes local governments rely on drawing down other revenues that come into our general funds, whether, in fact, it is state income tax or state sales tax, and it puts us, again, in jeopardy as to how we operate going forward. So a property tax freeze really is meaningless other than good political theater for those who are proposing it. But it can be a dangerous precedent. And in fact, when you think about it, if the state of Illinois had funded local schools at a 50% rate, which was a goal years ago, and it's dwindled ever since, you wouldn't have large property tax increases. The Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, almost 10 years ago, when there was talk about a state income tax increase taking place, we came up with a formula on a dollar-for-dollar basis that the new state income tax, when now distributed back to local schools, would be a dollar-for-dollar. In other words, for every dollar they got, they would reduce their property tax by that same dollar. In other words, to get the equity back or the balance back of 50% funding by the state and 50% local. That's why property taxes have gone up, because the state of Illinois has not properly funded education at that level.
And we'll be talking about that in the next half hour of the program with State Senator Andy Menar about all those kinds of things about the school aid formula and a property tax shift, income tax, property tax shift, those kinds of things. Mayor Tully, I was wondering your thoughts about this whole issue of, you know, we hear it, and I think the House has voted 18 times on it, about a property tax freeze.
I agree with Mayor Bennett completely, as with most mayors on this point. Whether you're a home rule community like Downers Grove is, or you're a non-home rule community, this is something that sounds great in theory, but it really doesn't address the issue. Number one, a property tax freeze limits the local control of municipalities who, again, deliver these basic services and can't distinguish between whether you're a Democrat or Republican when deciding to plow your street. It doesn't work that way. We have to deliver our services. And a property tax freeze, it erodes our local control and doesn't do anything to actually reduce the state's spending. So it sounds good, but it doesn't do anything to reduce the state's spending. All it does is erode our local control, which I want to add, in addition to having the 1-2 punch effect of eliminating our ability to fund something that we are then told by the state we have to fund, public safety employee pensions, which in my community last year, for example, we were mandated to, in 1 year, increase our contribution by about $900,000. And having to make that on an annual basis, but then not have the ability to fund it from one of my available sources of revenue is a big problem. But the last point that needs to be mentioned here is taking away that local control isn't just something that is a inconvenience. It potentially can affect our bond rating. Our bond ratings are huge. Right now, the Village of Downers Grove has a AAA bond rating. We're very proud of that. But it isn't just a point of pride. Having that spectacular bond rating greatly lowers our debt costs. So when we go out, for example, and refinance some of our general obligation bonds, which we have for stormwater projects and other projects, we can save substantial amount of money, which benefits our constituents, leveraging our bond rating. Quick example, recently we refinanced a bunch of debt from earlier that was done back, I think, about 2007. We saved almost $1 million in interest costs on that, on those general obligation bonds because of our bond rating. You get that bond rating from a number of factors, obviously good financial management, but your flexibility and your ability to control your own destiny through flexible revenue sources is a key point for the bond rating agencies. So taking away some of that flexibility with a property tax freeze has a real-world impact upon communities and may ultimately cost our residents even more.
Now, things like bond ratings may sound like pretty dry talk on a Sunday, but I'll tell you, this is something that's very, very important because, you know, this is the cost of borrowing. It's basically what the interest rate is going to be on the loan. And why you should care is when you look at things like the Chicago Public Schools, who are, you know, to try to paper over their gaps, and you're looking at interest rates of over 8% based on the poor bond rating and the lack of ability to finance. So, you know, very, very important topics. Palos Hills Mayor Jerry Bennett, Downers Grove Mayor Martin Tully. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Rick, thanks. Been a pleasure to be here with you.
We'll be back with more right after this.